more precious than gold, refined silver, the Word of God, found of course in the Bible, and the Bible alone. It's the word is able to make men and women wise, to impart wisdom, gospel wisdom to them. Not cleverness, but wisdom. Wisdom from God, that is. And of course, that brings the ability for salvation, to make a man wise for salvation. No. Maybe if you get on your knees. You ever read the Bible?
Yeah, I have.
Which bits? Which bit of the Bible do you read? No, the Bible. I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'll tell you what the Bible says. If you believe that God exists, and you seek Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you'll find Him. Yeah? You haven't put nothing into it. Yeah, you haven't put nothing into it. You got to seek Him with everything you've got. You got to repent. You got to repent of your sin.
Huh?
You haven't done nothing? No, of course you're not in control. God is. God is. But if you don't repent and believe the gospel, sir, you'll perish. You'll perish. Well, He'll do something for you. He'll judge you.
I've scarred myself on my chest, bro.
Yeah.
With a cross. I've got a scar on my chest.
Oh, well, that's not good. That's not good.
I paid that.
It's not your body. It's not your body he wants. It's your heart. It's your heart he wants. You got to repent, son.
I don't know what you mean, dude.
You got to turn from.
What are you on about, bro?
You got to turn from your sin. Give up your sin. Turn to Jesus.
I don't know what you're on about.
Turn to Jesus. Well, you said you read the Bible. Have you read it or not? You haven't, have you?
I've read some of it.
Aye, what? Two bits?
It doesn't mean no sense to me, bro.
What have you read? Two sentences?
No. A lot more than that, bro.
Ah.
Hell of a lot more.
Yeah?
Yeah?
And what would you make of it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, of course it's beautiful, because God's beautiful. Of course it makes sense.
In this place.
Of course it makes sense. You're a broken sinner.
It's making sense in this place.
You're a broken sinner. And Jesus came to save broken sinners. You're a bruised reed, you're a smoking flax. You're close to extinction. Yeah, but Jesus came to save men like you. Huh? You see, if you believe in Jesus, He will save you.
Save me from prison, yeah?
No, save you from your sin. Save you from the damnation of hell. You think this?
Hell.
You think this is bad? You think this is bad?
This is bad, man.
Well, there's worse to come. There's worse to come. You see nothing yet.
Worse to come, bro?
Eh?
How can there be worse to come? This is fucking bad.
No, yeah.
It's overwhelming for me. I can't live like this, I can't.
No, bro. Well, you're not supposed to live like this.
No, I'm supposed to live in kinship with my fucking fellow man, and nobody about, am I? Eh?
You've got to repent, sir. You've got to repent and trust in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Jesus died on the cross for sinners like you. Broken.
I'm not a sinner.
Broken men. You're not. You didn't read much of the Bible then, did you?
I'm not a sinner, bro.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
Ah, well, that's. You've got to come to that place, you see, of realizing that that's exactly what you are. A sinner, we all are. He is my buddy, me, all of us. We're all sinners.
Oh, I'm not a sinner.
We're all sinners.
You say I'm a fucking sinner.
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying I am.
How are you?
So as I was saying before we were interrupted, the Word of God, the Bible. We offer a copy of it to you here this afternoon for you to. Shall read for yourself and see. To see that the things that we say to you are so Bible, able to make you wise for salvation. But all that is, we believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this reason, He says, Jesus says that, you know, he doesn't come to judge, he doesn't come to condemn, but he came to save men and women from the brokenness of their sin, for the bruised reed and the smoking flax. He does not quench, you see. People, everybody, every single one of us, the preacher included, we all need Jesus because we're all sinners. Every single one of us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible, of course, you know, the Bible speaks about the cross of the Lord Jesus. The cross, that is, that Jesus died on. And how, of course, one of the authors in the Bible speaks about how he was persecuted, you know, for declaring the message of the cross. And of course, well, that's always been right from the get-go, right until the end of the age it will be so. Men and women, you know, who declare, who confess the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power, they are and they will be to the edge of the age, end of the age. They will be persecuted. That's a strange thing, isn't it? The lovely message of the Christian gospel that brings peace to men and women, that brings the peace of God to the souls of men and women, the lovely Jesus with His kindness and compassion and mercy. You compare that against murderous religion that has always filled the world. You make the comparison and, well, you ask yourself the question, you know, why should the declarers of the cross, why should they be persecuted? Well, because the Bible says it's an offense. It's an offense to unregenerate men, men and women, that is, who have never been born again. Jesus says in the Bible, of course, that a man must be born again. Except you be born again, he says, you can't see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. But you see, the man or woman, the natural man or woman who's never been born again, with no love for God, no desire for God in their hearts, you see, the cross, you see, has always been and always will be an offense to such men and women. But the cross, people, cross of Jesus, it's the power of God for salvation to all who believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. No other means, no other way of reconciliation to God, no other way by which a man, a woman, can be made right, justified before God, only through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on that cross. But of course, the message of the cross has been faced with the bitterest hatred, you know, from the unregenerate, even from religious people. You see, being religious and believing the gospel aren't quite the same things. You can be religious, you know, you can join some kind of religious movement, but that don't make you right with God. You can even become a member of a church, that don't make you right with God. You know, you can join a religious movement, and you can, well, you perhaps become a bit more moral, you know, a bit more respectable. But again, you see, people, that doesn't bring the life of God into the souls of men and women. That doesn't bring life and love and liberty. That doesn't bring the salvation of God. It's only the message of the cross. And it's only embracing the message of the cross in faith, people. It's that and that alone that brings the righteousness of God, that brings the salvation of God to the soul of a man or a woman, even today. But the offense of the cross...
What's that mean? Atheism is a crutch.
What do you think it means? Have a shot.
I'm an atheist.
Yeah, well, that's your crutch, you see. Well, the Bible says, God says there is no such thing as an atheist. He says that you believe in God, you know that God is, same as I do, yeah? You know that He is, He's made it plain to you, He's shown it to you, He says you even understand it. But here's the thing, you hold down the truth, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because you don't want there to be a God for the same reason, a thief doesn't want there to be a policeman.
That's not what an atheism is.
What is an atheism then?
An atheist doesn't believe in something that they can't see. He doesn't have a reason to believe. It doesn't mean that we're against religion.
You've got reason to believe.
It doesn't mean that we have to make choices. It just simply means with atheism, there isn't a belief. That's all it means, so don't discriminate atheism.
Not believe. It's nothing to do with discrimination.
In a Christian way, because I used to be a Christian.
No reason. You've got all the reason in the world, sir. If you're an atheist, tell me, how can you do anything reasonable?
I'm a very good person. I never used to be.
Are you? You ever told a lie?
I have, yes.
Uh-huh. You ever stolen anything, big or small? Yeah?
Yes.
You ever lusted after the opposite sex?
Have I?
Ever lusted after the opposite sex?
What does that mean?
You know, lusted after a woman.
Lusted,
you know, desired. Illicit sex.
I've been with the same woman for years, so...
No. So you never looked at another woman and desired her?
Desired another woman?
Yeah.
Even when I'm with my girlfriend
right
now, I look at
another woman. Never.
No, I look at other women, even though I'm not good.
Yeah. Listen, you're not good at all. You just said you were a good man.
No, in person.
In person.
But just because of that.
A good person. Good person.
It's got nothing to do with it, though, has it?
Yes. Everything to do with it, sir. You're a bad person. You're a vile person.
But you're a bad person.
Yes.
So, what's the difference?
The difference is, I'm not a better man than you.
I never said you were.
No. Let me finish.
You said I was bad, so I said you were.
Yeah. Well, let me finish. Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not a better person than you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm better off than you. I've got a saviour. You haven't.
I used to be homeless when I was a Christian.
Well, that's not commendable. You were never a Christian, sir. If you were a Christian before, you'd still be a Christian now.
No.
Yes. You don't become a Christian and not be a Christian. When God saves somebody, sir, He saves them for eternity. Yeah. If you'd been a Christian, you'd still be a Christian now. You were never a Christian.
Saved me from what I did. I took myself away from Christianity. Took myself away from drunk people. Stopped stealing. Stopped causing trouble. And I'm now a better person. Not a good person. Not a good person.
Not in God's eyes. You turned away from the truth. You turned away from that which would have saved you and made you a good man.
How is it the truth, though?
The Bible's the truth, sir. God's word.
How is it, though?
The gospel.
What's the proof?
You've never been born again, sir. You need to be born again, Jesus says. Your heart needs to be changed. Not religion, sir.
Back to the question, atheism is a crutch. What does crutch
mean? It's a Zimmer frame, you know.
Yeah.
A Zimmer frame. To help you to get through life, you see, without God.
Usually I walk past people like that, but atheism is a crook.
Yeah.
That's wrong.
No, it's not.
Spreading the word of God in the wrong way.
No.
You're not going to get people to listen to you.
No. Well, you listen to me. You listen to me. You're talking to me.
I didn't change back because that was offensive.
Well, be offended, sir. The gospel's an offence. The message of the cross is an offence, sir. It declares you to be a vile, rotten sinner in need of God's salvation. It declares that you cannot save yourself.
I will fully accept whatever you say without retaliating because I'm a better person.
You're a better person than who?
Than you. You just called me all names under the sun.
No,
I just declared to you what God says. So
I just declared to you what God says. Is he?
Don't use that.
You were never a Christian, sir. Get that clear. You were never a Christian.
Okay.
How do you know that? What's a Christian?
Okay.
What is a Christian?
What is a Christian?
What is a Christian?
What is a Christian?
You said I'm not a Christian. What is a Christian?
Does it say in the Bible to be argumentative with people?
What is a Christian? What is a Christian?
Under Matthew, Mark, Luke,
what is a Christian?
Anybody wants
what is
to
a Christian?
What God is?
What is a Christian?
You always listen.
How can you have one intelligent thought? Sir, without the right God.
Let them slap them on the left. It says that in the Bible because I used to be a Christian.
No, you were never a Christian, sir. You were never a Christian. You must be born again. Repent and believe the gospel. And you will be saved. So there you go, friends, and the offence of the cross, as I was saying before I was interrupted, you know. It's an offence, you see, because, well, it's an offence to man's pride, you see. You tell a man, as I just did just now, what God says about himself. Some people, they say, you know, that they say the Bible was written by men. Well, you know, the Bible's description of man, that his heart is deceitful, that he's utterly and absolutely vile. Do you think that if a man wrote the Bible, do you think that's how he would describe himself? No man, no woman ever described themselves in those terms, in that way, until they had come to the realization, to the conviction of their sin. But you see, people, men, the cross, the message of the cross is an offense to the pride of men and women, because it declares them to be sinners. It declares them to be vile. It declares them to be sinful to the very cores of their being, and that's why they find it offensive. It's what the man just said. It's an offense to me. You've offended me. Well, people, it's the message of the cross that's an offense to unregenerate men and women who have never been born again. Until God changes your heart, until God enlightens you, until God gives you understanding, people, you will never see yourself as you are in reality in the eyes of God. Sinful, wretched, blind and naked, and in need of salvation. But that is, and it always will be, an offense, you see, to natural men and women who have never been born again. So the offense of the cross, an offense to man's pride, an offense, of course, to man's wisdom, or maybe perhaps I should say his cleverness, you know. Man thinks that he can do it himself, he can sort out the problems of the world, the problems of the nation, you know, he's so clever. Here you are, people, you got all the answers to all the philosophical questions, the origin of the species, of the universe. You've got all these things so cleverly worked out. And you don't need there to be a God. You don't want there to be a God. So clever. You don't need the gospel. And people, here you are with all these hang-ups, hangovers, all the problems, all the social issues that you face the world over in your own society, and you can't sort them out. You're so clever. So clever. But you can't sort out the common, everyday, ordinary problems of human life, of living with one another, of even living with yourself and with your own consciences. But the message of the cross, people, it declares the foolishness of men in all their clever thinking, in all their philosophical ideas. The cross, you see, yes, is foolishness. It's an offense to the natural man or woman who hasn't come to the realization that they are utterly and absolutely bankrupt and in need of God's salvation. The wisdom of God, people, is what you want, not the cleverness of men. Oh, you've plenty of clever men and women. Oxbridge, you know, all your big universities with all your clever men, your Dawkinses and your Darwins, all the cleverness of men can't put the world back together again. The offense of the cross, the wisdom of God, people, in the salvation that he offers to men and women. His son, Jesus Christ, been slain on a cross in order that people like you and I, that we might be changed, that we might be transformed, that we might be washed and made clean, that we might be made right with God. That, people, I suggest to you this afternoon, is man's greatest need in every and any day and generation. Not more politics, not more thinking. It's the cross, people. The cross of Jesus. The cross on which the Son of God was slain, was crucified, where he shed his blood in order that men and women, such as you and such as I, that we might be reconciled to Almighty God. Peace with God. Peace was made by the blood of his cross. And that peace has been made. God has dealt with the alienation. But you personally, consciously, and deliberately, in faith, you have to receive that peace that Jesus made for the world on the cross. The offense of the cross, of course, is an offense to men and women who have never been born again. Because it declares, you see, it declares the truth, you see, that man can't save himself. Some people, of course, they think they can do it by religion, by becoming religious, you know, rather than trusting what God has revealed, rather than trusting in what God himself has provided. Man, you see, they'll become religious. They'll attach themselves to any religious organization that you care to name. Oh, they'll try all kinds of means. Become more respectable, more morally upright. But you see, the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, declares to us all that we cannot save ourselves. There's an inability with us. Because you see, people, you see, we're born sinners. We've got sinful natures. And it's from those sinful natures that come the sinful practice. You ever ask yourself the question, maybe in a quieter moment, why do I do the things that I do? I know they're wrong. I know it's wrong, but I still do it. Why do I think the way that I do? I know it's wrong. Why do I do it? Almost as though I can't help myself. And that's the truth of the matter. You can't. Because you've got a sinful nature, and from that sinful nature comes naturally, quite naturally, the sinful practice. All we are, people, born into this world is walking, talking, breathing sin. From the top of your head to the tip of your toes, nothing but sin. And we can't help ourselves, we can't get ourselves out of it, no matter how much you try, no matter how much you work at it. God declares in his word that no man, no person will ever be justified, made right with God by his or her own works. There's only one way, people, through the cross. God's Son, Jesus Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God goes to the trouble, you see, of planning this salvation, of working it out through the years, all the years and centuries of the Old Testament. And then just at the right time sends his Son into the world, that through him that the world might be saved. God goes to all that bother, and you think to yourself that you can bypass it, you can ignore it, you can reject it, you can save yourself. I can do it myself, you see. You can't, people. The cross is God's declaration that man cannot save himself from the ruinous condition that he's gotten himself into by sin. Only when you come to that place of knowing and understanding, I'm lost, I'm cut off from God, I'm faced with the damnation of hell, and the only place that I can be saved is before that cross, looking upon the Son of God on your knees and crying out to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the only way forward. And the cross, people, it may be an offense to you, but I tell you, it's the only remedy. You can't save yourself. But then, of course, the message The message is an offense to those, not sinners, you know. Those sinners who, well, we would call the self-righteous. You might be secularly self-righteous. You know, very respectable, very intelligent. You live in your, you know, your nice semi or your detached house, you know, and you look down your respectable nose at others who are less fortunate than you are. Or maybe it's religious self-righteousness, you know. There's a class of people that Jesus had got nothing to say to. He says he came for the brokenhearted, he came for the oppressed, he came for the captive, he came for the bruised reeds, but he has got nothing, Jesus has got nothing to say to the self-righteous. God hates self-righteousness. And the message of the cross, you see, is an offense. It's an offense to the self-righteous. Those who say or think, I'm okay. My friends, they give out leaflets. They try to give you a leaflet, and what's your answer? 99 times out of 100, what's your answer? I'm okay. Would to God that you were okay. But you're not okay, not without Jesus. Not without Jesus, you're not. Not without the cross, you're not. The cross will always be an offense to the self-righteous people. Your righteousness, God says, is like filthy rags in His sight. He won't touch it. He won't even look upon you in your self-righteousness. No, people, there's only one righteousness that God accepts, and that's the righteousness that a man or woman gets in front of the cross, bowing the knee before King Jesus, and repenting of their sin and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. In receiving Him, you receive the righteousness of God. That's the only righteousness that's acceptable to God. Not yours, not mine. The revealed righteousness of God in the gospel, in the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. But of course, the message of the cross is an offense to modern man's thinking. You know, you think, well, you know, this is 2016. You know, we've arrived. You know, we're enlightened today. You know, this gospel business, it was good maybe, you know, 100 years ago or so, you know. Before our parents, our grandparents, you know, and our great-grandparents, you know, they didn't understand the things that we do today. You know, we are educated, we are intelligent, we've arrived, you know. We've discovered evolution. People, yes, the gospel, the message of the cross is an offense to modern man's thinking. But here's the truth. For all your modern thinking, you still can't live with one another. You still go about the world killing one another. But maybe that's because evolution is the God, small g, the God of blood. It's a message, it's a theory, call it what you will. Maybe that gives too much credibility to it. But it's a message, evolution, people, is a message of death, utter death and despair. It's a wonder you can't see that already without me telling it to you. But here you are, you still can't live with one another. You still can't live with yourself, with your own consciences, with your own problems, your own struggles, and of course your own addictions. You still can't live without God. In fact, the truth of the matter is, you can't think without God. You can't know anything without God. You can't do your science and your philosophy and your ethics. You can't do any of these things without God. If God had not revealed knowledge to you, the beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, people. God has revealed knowledge to us, and so therefore you're able to do all these wonderful scientific things that you do. But the message of the cross, an offense to modern man's thinking. Message of the cross, of course, is a message of God's high holiness, the holiness that God demands, that a man must be holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, the Bible says. And of course, to unholy men and women, the message of the cross that declares and demands, declares the holiness of God and demands holiness of you and I. Bound to be an offense, people. No one ever desired to be holy. No one ever desired to be pure. No one ever desired to be loving, to be kind, to be compassionate. No one ever loved to be the. No one ever desired to be these things until God worked upon his or her heart and changed it. That's why Jesus says, you see again, that's why Jesus says that a man must be born again. Until God supernaturally, miraculously changes your heart, gives you a new heart, and gives you the desire for holiness, for purity, for goodness, for wholesomeness. Don't ever desire these things until God causes you by his power to be born again. And the message of the cross until then will be an offense to you. But then, of course, you can see this, can you not, the world over? You know, the persecution of Christian believers the world over. And every day, in every generation, and even to this very day, in the Middle East, they tell me there's hardly a Christian person to be found because of the slaughter and the killing of them. Because they believe and trust in the message of the cross for God's salvation. But you see, it proves the matter that I'm declaring to you here this afternoon. The offense of the cross, you see. The slander, the mockery. We hear it day by day, we hear it week by week, here in your shopping center as you go by. We know what you think, you know. Out of the abundance of the heart, you know, the mouth speaks, says God. What's in your heart, you see? What's in your heart comes out your mouth, you see? You can't help yourself. And when we declare the gospel, the good news of God's salvation to you in Jesus Christ, when we declare the fact of sin to you, when we declare the message of the cross to you as God's only remedy for sinful man, well, out comes the mockery, out comes the sneering, out comes the slander, out comes the blasphemy. Proving the very matter, revealing, you know, that the cross is an offense to you. And then, of course, well, you know, religious people do it. Many of your churches in your city center today, well, you can go and you can listen, and maybe you'll learn to sing a bit, and maybe you'll learn to dance, and maybe they'll feed you, or they'll do all kinds of things for you, but there's not many. You haven't got many left that'll preach the cross to you. You haven't got many left in your sitting here in Stoke-on-Trent today. They'll tell you that you're a vile sinner, undone and condemned before God. You won't find many churches in your city today. They'll lead you to the cross. They'll take you to the place where you can be saved, made right with God. You haven't got many that will call you to repentance and to believe in and to trust in God's Son slain on the cross for sinners. They've given up on that. Why? Because it's an offense to them as well as it is to you. They're just religious people with dead orthodox religion, some of them. Dead, they got the pall of death all over them. Liberal, unbelieving. They don't believe their own message. And they wonder why they're empty. That's why they feed you. That's why they dance to you. That's why they sing to you. Because they think that by these carnal means they can fill their churches up again. people, the cross is an offense. Always has been and always will be to unbelief. And then, of course, there are those who deny the cross, you see. Deny that it was, you know, the substitutionary atonement of Jesus. That is, that Jesus was dying in the place of the sinner. That Jesus was taking the penalty, the punishment. Here's the thing, people. You and I deserve to be condemned. You and I deserve to be punished. We've broken God's law. We've offended His love. We deserve nothing but the damnation of hell. But in the grace of God, you see, God, in His compassion and kindness, sent His Son into the world in order that He might step up to that cross and take the punishment that was due to me. Take the punishment that was due to you. Jesus is the divine substitute. He stepped up to the plate. He said, I'll go to the cross. I'll shed my blood in order that they might be forgiven. Here's the thing, people. In the Old Testament, the prophet Moses, he says that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, His own Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and has the ability to take your sin away. Yours too, Mr. McDonald. Yours too. Take your sin away if you will but trust in Jesus. Cleanse you and make you whole, sir. Yeah. Everybody's. Yeah. Pardon?
No. In what way?
In what way, what?
Like, how can I expect to be saved by someone that treats human beings with no respect?
With no respect?
Not at all.
God treats you with more respect than you do yourself.
I choose my own respect. I make my own choices in my life.
Do you?
How can I believe in such a prophet, in such a divine being, that whose ideology created man, every animal on this earth, whose certain animal cycle is to bury through the eyes of children? How can I respect someone like that?
The only choice you can make, sir, is to sin.
Then, by doing what? How do I sin?
Your nature sin, sir. That's what you are. You're walking, breathing, talking sin.
That's sinning.
That's sin. Yeah.
Breathe, towards, it's all
yeah,
sin.
Yeah, yeah.
So
everything about you is sin, sir.
My birth was a sin.
Yes. In sin. You were conceived in sin.
We are all conceived in sin.
Yes.
You were not
yes.
conceived in purity.
Well, yes, that's right. That's right.
We're all,
we're all sinners, yes, saved by the blood of Jesus. Saved by the blood of Jesus.
Right, okay, so...
Jesus took my punishment.
Okay, going back to the book of Genesis.
Jesus took my punishment.
To the book of Genesis.
Okay.
Right, God created the earth in 7 days, yes?
Yes, six. Six. Six.
Six. Days the seventh of rest.
Six. Yeah.
I don't believe in the sense that it's possible, but because I believe in science and basic...
Well, you're not the determiner of what's possible and what's impossible. God is God, and God sovereignly determines what's possible. He created the universe in six literal days, 24-hour periods. Because you can't get your puny mind around that, doesn't make it impossible.
No, okay.
Right.
Right.
Carry on
from the book of Genesis, okay? Creates Adam. From the rib of Adam then creates woman Eve. Yes, okay?
Yeah.
Then people then were bewitched by a snake to eat a fruit.
Yes.
Set of knowledge.
Yes,
and they clothe themselves.
The serpent spoke, yes.
So that is a sin to be clothed.
Sorry?
It is a sin to be clothed.
No. It's a sin.
Why did God judge them? Why did God then cast them out of the Garden of Eden?
Because they sinned before that.
By doing what? By going against His word to eat,
yes.
to learn?
Yes, yes.
It's a sin to learn, to want to progress yourself? You can say I've had a puny mind.
You're talking about...
No.
You're talking about autonomous man. You're not autonomous. You're dependent on God, sir. Whether you realise it...
Dependent on God.
Yes, you are. You can't even have this conversation without God. You can't do school. You can't even have a meaningful thought without God.
How?
How,
please, yeah.
Well, you pray tell me, how from a material, natural universe, no God, right?
Yes.
Where do you get science? Where do you get philosophy? Where do you get laws of nature? Justify your laws of nature.
The laws of nature, it's just genetics, it's basic.
Genetics?
Yes,
what?
It just happens.
Or just happen?
It does. It's chemicals. It's atoms. It's the combination. That's so, how the Earth was created. There was a moment.
Created? Created? Created by who?
By atoms.
Created by atoms.
Created a reaction.
So we've got. So we have. So we've got a creator then. We have got a creator then.
Yes,
atoms. Atoms.
Science.
Atoms. Atoms in science.
Yes.
Oh right. So let me get it right. Yeah. There was absolutely nothing.
No,
wait a minute. Let me finish. Let me finish. You've had your say, right? There was absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Then, accidentally, nobody knows how, and nobody knows where the chemicals came from, but there was a bang, and this matter came into being, just a lump of matter, and then there was a few billion years, and the matter became, wait for it, the matter became intelligent. Yeah, and then there was a few more billion years, and it became, the matter became ethical even.
That's the point of science. We question, we ask why, we want to learn more. You're saying all the answers we need are in a book, then there's no progression.
Yep. Of course there's progression.
How? It's written.
God gave you.
Book one,
God,
page 1 to 995.
God gave you the knowledge to be able to do science, philosophy, and ethics. You couldn't do any of these things without knowledge. God gave you knowledge, the fear of the Lord. This is the beginning of knowledge.
This is how we progress. We find out. We use science. We learn. Science does.
God gave you the ability to do that. God gave you the ability to do that.
We learn as we go along. That's the beauty of science. That's
the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You couldn't do science without the knowledge that God's given to you.
You're saying there was nothing, and all of a sudden there was a bang, and there was.
Oh, you say that. You say that.
I am saying that because there's more basis of fact for that. God, religion, is a formalized panic about death.
Tell me.
All it is.
Tell me.
Nobody wants nothing.
Tell me.
Nobody wants to die and find out they're 6 feet under in fucking dirt. Something more.
Do you believe? Why are you getting angry, sir? Why are you getting angry?
Because it's the truth.
Do you believe, sir? Do you believe it's wrong for one man to kill another?
No. Well, obviously.
Oh, you do? Oh.
It is wrong.
Is it? Why is it wrong? Justify that.
Justify why it's all right?
No, justify why it's wrong.
Why it's wrong to kill another man?
Yeah. Why is it wrong?
Is it our right to take another life?
Why is it? Well, who says it's not? That's just survival of the fittest, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not.
It's not. What is? Make your mind up. Which is it, sir?
Survival of the fittest is the term of a lion eating an antelope. Because of the fact it needs to survive. If I kill another man, it gains nothing for me, unless that person is physically threatening my family, my country.
Why is it wrong?
What I believe.
Tell me. Why is it right to have? I mean, if you believe in evolution, right?
Yes.
You believe in that tribe, that lie. You tell me why? Why do you have prisons? Why do you have courts? Why do you have policemen? I mean, it's just survival of the fittest. Is it? I'll leave you to converse yourselves. Repent and believe the gospel, folks. The time is short. The message of the cross is always... The message of the cross is always... Always an offense to sinners. Always offense to natural man. You must be born again, people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You can do nothing without God. Without the knowledge that God has given to you. You cannot do your ethics. You cannot do your morality. You cannot, if you claim to be an atheist, and if you're going to be consistent to your atheism, then you've got to give up your morality, because you've got no basis. You've got no basis for morality in atheism. No basis at all. No justification for it. You can do science, why? Because there are laws of nature. You can do ethics because you've got laws that God has given to you. Your very conscience, testifies with me. It accuses you, or it approves of your doings. You see, you can't escape that conscience within you that God has given and testifies. Your conscience is a moral response to God, people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the answer, the message of the cross. You can't escape it, people. The substitutionary atonement. Jesus took the place of the sinner. He took my place. He took my punishment. He took yours. All your sin laid on Jesus, washed away in His precious blood. If you will but repent, if you will but turn from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. God's promise. whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sin's penalty, sin's power, saved from it, people. Saved by the blood of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, people, read for yourself and see that these things indeed are so. We offer you a copy of God's Word. Read for yourself. Check it out. Don't take my word for these things, but God's Word. His Word is powerful. His Word is able to transform, able to change, able to transform the vilest sinner, the darkest soul in mind, and bring you people to that new birth, to gaze upon the cross and to see the love of God in Jesus Christ, dying for sinners, dying in the place of sinful men and women.